Good evening, everyone. It's time to take charge of your life. Hello, this is marriage and family therapist Eleanor Barbaro, your host, inviting you to take charge of your life on WDIY. The theme of this program is that so many events in life happen to us over which we have no control. Our only control is our response to life's situations. It is often said that 90% of life's events happen to us, and 10% is what we make happen. Tonight we talk about and honor the memory of Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. How far have we come? Where do we go from here? To honor the contributions of Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr., are my guests this evening, Dr. Joel Nathan Rosen, Associate Professor of Sociology at Moravian College. He's the author of many books and co-author of the forthcoming Black Baseball, Black Business, Race Enterprise, and the Fate of the Segregated Dollar. Elijah Irving is a senior psychology major at Moravian College with designs on becoming a marriage and family therapist. And Justin Charles is a senior political science major, minoring in sociology, who plans to be a civil rights lawyer. Welcome to WDIY.
Thank you. Glad for being here.
Yeah. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
This is a momentous occasion. Dr. Martin Luther King really made such an impact on all of our lives. I know that in my own case, my husband was a freedom rider and went down to change things down south and almost missed his ordination. But how did Martin Luther King, do you think, impact yourselves? How did his life impact you?
As far as learning about him in school, knowing about what his dream was about, which was to keep everybody together and love everyone, treat everyone the same. And as far as growing up, you were just so inspired by his speech and his words and his passion with his speech. You just wanted to just keep his dream alive.
Yeah. And how did it impact you, Elijah?
It impacted me as far as just treating everyone with respect and love.
And how was that different? Where did you grow up, Elijah?
I grew up in Plainfield, New Jersey.
Plainfield, and what was that like?
I mean, Plainfield, New Jersey was predominantly a black city. I mean, and then you had South Plainfield, which was predominantly white. I mean, you had your handful of Hispanics and blacks there as well. And North Plainfield was predominantly Hispanic. And I went to school, private school, in South Plainfield. So, I mean, in Catholic school, we were pretty much, everyone was treated with respect. Everyone ate together, sat down on the tables, ate together, played out on recess together.
So that you didn't experience any discrimination?
I mean, there was one incident where a kid called me the N-word and I broke his nose. But, I mean, at the time when we were kids, when someone would throw that word at you, and your initial response was to fight. But, I mean, I think that just comes with being in the environment from where I came from.
You learn to stand up for yourself.
Stand up for yourself, which is what you learn from other heroes of the civil rights movement as well. But I felt bad afterwards because, of course.
How old were you at the time, Elijah?
I was in eighth grade, so I was probably 13, somewhere around there.
Was it in school? Did you get?
Yes.
Yes.
And I got suspended.
And you got suspended?
Yeah.
Okay. For how long?
Few days in school suspension.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah. All right. But you learned to stand up for yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how about you, Justin? Justin Charles is a political science major, and you want to become a civil rights attorney.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, how did that come about? Did Martin Luther King have his life had any impact on yours?
Yes, it did. It kind of paved the way for me when it came to just going to prep school, giving me the opportunity to get a better education. And I went to a prep school in Connecticut called The Gunnery. And while I was there, I experienced a lot of, I would say, racism and a lot of stereotypes. And people like Martin Luther King gave me the opportunity to prove these stereotypes wrong and basically give black people a good name.
Yeah. How did that happen? Can you give us an example? Did you have difficulty in the private school?
Yes, I did, because the private school was predominantly white, and these students came from areas where there weren't that many African Americans. And what they saw was in the media. And often, you know, the media portrays African Americans as these individuals who like sag their pants, who are thugs, who are, you know, who rob, steal, you know. And I have to prove to them that, hey, listen, like, it's not like this. You know, I joined a lot of clubs. I did radio there. I was the basketball captain there. And during the earthquake in Haiti, we raised money. We raised probably like $15,000, my brother and I. And we just had to break down a lot of barriers. And there were troubling days and there were happy days. But, you know, overall, it was a great experience. And
so you came out of it okay.
Yes, I did.
But you had to stand up for yourself. As Elijah was saying, can you give us an example how you felt that you had to stand up for yourself and prove yourself in that school?
Yeah, there were different ways I stood up for myself. One was turning the other cheek. There were things that were said that were horrific, but I had to turn the other cheek. I was mad, but you can't let your anger just consume you, because you might do something that, like, you know, that might, you know, end up like you might do something that you'll regret. And there's an incident with my brother, and he retaliated with violence, and he got in trouble, and he almost got kicked out of school. And I told my brother, hey, listen, you can't resort to violence, because that's not the way to, you know, resolve things, you know. And I always used to tell him, I know it hurts. I know it really hurts. Sometimes, you know, you want to cry, and it really hurts. It really hurts your heart. But at the same time, you just got to know why you're here. And basically show them that, hey, listen, you can do this. You know, you're here to break barriers. You're here to, you know, pave the way for others.
So you were really a source of inspiration to your brother.
That's right.
Yeah, because he had
a tough time. He had a really, really tough time.
Were you in the same school?
Yeah, we were all in the same school. But for him, there was also much he could take.
Well, we're going to come back to that in just a moment, but in case you've just tuned in, you're listening to Take Charge of Your Life. This is your host, Elena Bobro, and we're talking tonight about honoring the memory of Dr. Martin Luther King. And my guests this evening are Elijah Irving, who is a senior psychology major at Moravian College, who has an interest in becoming a marriage and family therapist, and Justin Charles, who was a senior political science major, who'd like to become a civil rights attorney. And we have Dr. Joel Nathan Rosen, who is associate professor of sociology at Moravian College. And we're going to talk to Dr. Rosen. Dr. Rosen, how did you become interested in becoming, you were recently until this January, this recent January, chairman of the Department of African American Studies? Is that what it was called at Moravian?
Well, at Moravian we call it Africana.
Africana.
Right, but it's, you know, it's basically the diaspora sort of writ large in this broader context. But that's a really good question, but just if I may.
Yes.
Just listening to Elijah and Justin speak, I think it's really interesting, and I think it's important that everybody understand that we're still in a position now where people have to continue to prove that they're good enough or that they're okay enough to be part of those groups. And I think both of their stories speak to that, the idea of the expectation, you know, that people look at Justin and they look at Elijah, and their expectation is that they will be this until they prove otherwise. And I believe that was at the root of Dr. King's entire life and legacy, was that the expectations we hold for the visual are most of the times are completely and utterly wrong, and that the real mark of equality or moving toward that is when we no longer look at somebody and expect that person to act in a way that we have historically seen.
So to translate that a little bit, so what you're saying is that Justin and Elijah have both given, you've both given examples of, is because people look at you and see black, and then they expect a certain kind of behavior.
That's right.
And Dr. Martin Luther King was saying, we want to give up that expectation. That's what you're saying.
Exactly.
Too, Dr. Rosen. We're not, so that's what you had to fight for. And that's what your brother had to fight for. Because they look and they see and they say, oh, this is what we can expect. And you want to change that expectation to just being. just being and to be accepted, not because or if or what or when, but to be accepted and given an opportunity to show who you be and not to disprove or prove anything because of color, race, or religion. Is that accurate, Dr. Rosen?
That's extraordinarily accurate. And in fact, it continues to plague us in so many ways. And especially as we seem to be retreating back to that notion of embracing our differences, that we go back, we seem to be resetting the clock in some ways, and we're moving away from Dr. King's legacy and his message, which was that these expectations haunt us. These expectations don't fuel us. They haunt us. And as long as we continue to look at the visual expect and make the visual the expectation, and keep making people who've been historically marginalized have to prove themselves time and again, well, that all we're doing is revisiting these things in a much more subtle fashion. You don't have to break somebody's nose and have that sort of response to recognize that what I'm being is marginalized, and for Elijah to have to prove himself, or for Justin to have to prove himself over and over again because the expectation is based on how they look outwardly. That's where the trouble continues to plague us.
And we're going to talk more about this when we return to Take Charge of Your Life on WDIY.
Join us for our Winter Blast 2014. WDIY's annual party is happening Saturday, February 1st at Miller Symphony Hall in Allentown. Tickets are available at WDIY.org. Winter Blast tickets include complimentary food, drinks, and the live rock and sounds of the Doughboys. Go to WDIY.org and get your tickets today.
Welcome back to Take Charge of Your Life. Hello, this is Eleanor Bobrow, your host. And this evening we're talking about honoring the memory of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And with me this evening are my guests, Dr. Joel Nathan Rosen, Associate Professor of Sociology at Moravian College, the author of many books and co-author of the forthcoming Black Baseball, Black Business, Race Enterprise, and the Fate of the Segregated Dollar. And we have two students from Moravian College, Elijah Irving, a senior psychology major at Moravian College with the designs upon becoming a marriage and family therapist, and Justin Charles, a senior political science major minoring in sociology who plans to be a civil rights attorney. We were just talking in the first part of the program some experiences that you had growing up. Elijah, you were talking about your experiences, and Justin, you were talking about your experiences in a private school. So where do we go from here? What do you think Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. message is for you today? Is it to accept differences? Is it to be compassionate? That was my understanding, giving equal rights to everyone. I know, what do you feel the message is today, and how far have we come in achieving it? Dr. Rosen?
Well, I think one of the most important things we have to take into account was that Dr. King wasn't necessarily laying out a blueprint for the future. What he was trying to do in his lifetime was to perhaps leave a legacy, but most important to him was stopping what was happening right then and there, right? So we can take the things that he said back in 63, what happens to him in 68, his activity, his legacy, his life's work, and we can break it down to a period specific thing. But I do think one of the great challenges we have today is not just accepting differences any longer. It's moving beyond the notion of difference. It's the idea that we have to embrace difference as opposed to looking for our commonality, and that becomes a tremendous hurdle.
And what do you mean by that? Give us an example of what you mean, embracing differences and then going beyond. Well, what do you mean?
Well, we used to say that, and this is going back to Dr. King himself, you know, that a man is not the sum of his the parts he brings to the table, you know, the color of his skin, you know, the style of his hair, the size and shape. Those things didn't matter. But we've gone back to a point where now we're looking at how we look as having fueled who we really are. And I think that in many ways it flies in the face of what Dr. King was saying, is that our outward appearance is at best, a minor portion of who we are. And we seem to be re-engaging this notion of outward appearance as opposed to looking for a commonality. I think mathematically we'd refer to that as finding the lowest common as opposed to the highest common denominator.
Justin, I was wondering how that impacts you. You had an experience, I believe, with the police, frisk and what's the policy called? Frisk and
it's called stop and frisk.
Stop and frisk. That's thank right. you. So, did you have an experience with that stop and frisk, which goes to what Dr. Rosen was talking about?
Yes, in Boston, when I was 13 years old, my brother and I were walking home from school, and we got stopped by the cops. And they told us to get on the wall, and they started to search us to see if we had any, like, drugs or weapons. And at the time, I was frightened. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know my rights. I felt vulnerable. And at the time, I really didn't know what to do. So that's one of the reasons why I wanted to become an attorney.
And so that was caused because they saw that you were black, and if you were black, they had to search you. Is that correct?
Yeah,
is that the idea?
Yeah, because I think they stopped me because I fit the stereotype. You know, it was dark. We were walking home, and
were they looking for some people?
They were looking for two suspicious black men who caused a crime in the area like hours before. So I guess we fit the description.
And by we, you meant yourself and
my brother, and my brother and I. Yeah.
Your brother and you. Yeah. But did they take you in?
No, they didn't. They put our names in the machine, and nothing came up.
Ah, but still, that relates to what you were talking about, Dr. Rosen.
Well, when you think about it, the description of two black men, and we're talking about two 13-year-old boys. I mean, they were kids. I think that's it's a pretty broad sweep of the notion of probable cause and things of that nature. So I would argue, from a legal standpoint, that's a direct violation of Fourth Amendment rights about search and seizure, but there was no compunction because this is part of what was then, and in some cases remains, a policing methodology. You know, the expectation that somebody who was doing this and fitting this particular demographic profile, better safe than sorry.
And how about yourself, Elijah? Have you had an experience?
I have had an experience with a stop and frisk. Me and my best friend Spencer were at a train station waiting for his girlfriend coming from South Boundbrook. And the train station was in Plainfield. And we were just standing there waiting for his girlfriend. And we come down the stairs, and a police officer comes up to us, and he points at me and says, "Get your hands out of your pockets." And then we're kids as well. I'm about 14, 15, and I'm just caught by the blind side, and I'm just like, okay, I got my hands out of my pocket. What's going on? And he's like, we got a call saying that you guys were, you know, we were just looking for two suspicious black males, so we just had to come check you guys out. And we're just like, we're just standing here. They're asking us all these questions. What are you guys doing here? And we're just saying that I'm waiting for my friend's girlfriend. And he was like, oh, okay, well, we just wanted to make sure. And, of course, we were just sitting there. Of course, after the police officers left, we were like, just to make sure of what? Like, we're not doing anything. We're just innocent bystanders just waiting for a girl at the train station.
Right. Let me ask you, Dr. Rosen, talk about what you see as the future of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s outlook. Where do we go from here? And I want you to think, Elijah and Justin, what you feel, where do you think we go from here to in terms of Dr. Martin Luther King's Jr. Idea of acceptance of all differences with compassion and respect and justice?
I think as far as the first step into continuing his dream is to remove the selection of what your ethnicity is on applications. Or religion, mm-hmm. things of that nature. Uh-huh. Because, I mean, it shouldn't really matter what someone is, what their ethnicity is, what religion they are. I mean,
in order and to remove that means to look at the person
rather than their character,
the character and what and their credentials rather than their ethnicity.
Yes.
Uh-huh. How about yourself, Justin?
Yeah, basically what Elijah said, just to keep pushing the dream, and all that separation causes fear, and that fear fuels stereotypes, and all that is just negative energy. And we just need to love one another. Just we need to unify and just look past that. Look beyond that and just...
Look beyond the color.
Look beyond the color and just accept the person for who he or she is.
So we need to give that person, we need to give each other an opportunity to demonstrate who we are.
That's right.
Go beyond what we look like or what our ethnicity is, and to be given an opportunity to stand for who we are, not for what we look like.
That's right.
And just yes.
And just to throw as an example, look what happened after September 11th with all the Islam believers here. They were targeted. They were riots. They were getting targeted and beat up by Americans, fellow Americans. So I mean, it's just like we still, and that was in what, 2001. So we still have that sort of mentality, but on a religion aspect, not the race. As far as just putting that for that example, it was a religion out lens.
So we have to give you what you're saying is we need to really look at individuals rather than. Than looking at a person who is a member of a particular group and give each person an opportunity to prove themselves and to demonstrate who they are without casting our own thoughts on them.
Well, for so long we've been told that these things matter and making them not matter any longer.
When you say these things matter.
Differences, visual differences, gender differences, religious orientation, all these elements we were told for so many generations that they matter, but recognizing that they really don't matter is a tall order. So the ideal to me, I mean, if you look at this from a step by step process, first things first, it's okay to be interested and aware of differences, but to fixate them becomes problematic in its own right, because fixating it, all it does is keep alive all those elements that had been obstacles and barriers.
And when you say fixate, what are you really talking about?
When the most important thing in a person's life are those things that person had no control, your sex, your physical appearance, be it skin color, hair texture, eye shape, what have you. Fixating on those things is very, in many ways, it's antithetical to the human experience. Humans are the sum not of their appearance, but really the sum of their works. And by continuing to fixate on those elements that of which we have no control, we're not moving forward. In many ways, we can be say it is an act of regression as opposed to progression.
So in order to proceed ahead and to follow Dr. Martin Luther King's dream, we really need to be able to see each other not for the visual that we see before us, but to give each other an opportunity to demonstrate who we really are and give each other the opportunity to demonstrate who they are with respect and compassion.
Exactly, and therefore we wouldn't even have to prove ourselves.
I want to thank you, Dr. Joel Nathan Rosen, Associate Professor of Sociology at Moravian College, and Moravian College students Elijah Irving, a Senior Psychology major, and Justin Charles, a Senior Political Science major, for helping us to understand how Dr. Martin Luther King's efforts not only impacted his generation, but many generations thereafter. Thank you for helping us to understand how far we have come with interracial relations and for understanding how we need to proceed for the future. Thank you again for listening. Thank you, Neil Heaver, producer. See you all on the radio next Monday evening at 6:30 p.m. when I again invite you to take charge of your life on WDIY.